Hebrews chapter 10. I started a series of messages last Sunday night on why we do what we do when we come to church. Now that is a big question, why we do what we do when we come to church. Some people when they come to church, they come to be seen. Some people when they come to church, they come to worship God. Some people when they come to church, they come to gossip. Some people when they come to church, they come to learn and act from the Word of God. And that's not what really, those back things is not what I'm going to look at today. But I want to deal, we started dealing last week with why we do when we come to church. And we dealt with Sunday school, why we have teaching and why we learn from the Word of God. But today in verse 22, look, the Bible says in Hebrews 10 and verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Listen, you know why you can hold on to your profession of faith without wavering? Because He's faithful. Amen. He's faithful. That's why we can hold on to it today. Not because we're faithful, but because He's faithful. And thank God for that wonderful promise today. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You can be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We certainly just need a touch from you, and we just need you to come by and guard our mind and our thoughts. And Lord, bring back to our memory the things that you've shared with us out of the Word of God. Things, the thoughts that you've given us this week in this message. And Lord, we can't do anything without you. And these folks sitting here today, they need something. I need something from heaven. And Lord, we just need you to come by. And I'm trying to be as honest from my heart as much as I know how. I can't do anything, Lord. I know that. I'm going to do my best, but I can't do anything without your help. You said in John 15 and 5, without me you can do nothing. And Lord, I understand that this morning. I pray that you just, again, guard our thoughts and our mind, keep Satan and that far from this building today, and keep him hindered to keep from hindering us. And Lord, I pray you'd save somebody that might be lost. Lord, that they know what that peace, wonderful peace is all about that my wife sung about. Now, Lord, I pray you'd help the one that has a need. Meet with us now. Open the Scripture to us and we'll take in it. We love you and thank you for all that you've done. Save that sinner that's near as hell for these things in Jesus' name. We do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. As we look in this passage of Scripture, and we're going to deal mainly with a thought out of verse 25 where he said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So as we come together as a church, there are three main, as we said last week, there are three main, how do you put this, portions of our service. And I think you could say that today. One, we have Sunday school, and then we have choir singing, and then we have preaching. Now, somewhere, I need to fit tithing in there too. Amen. But listen, y'all didn't lie for nothing. It's all, let's let me back up and hammer on that for a little while. Amen. Listen, how's your heart in giving? You know, it ought to excite you to be able to give. I'll never forget when I was growing up, my mom, we didn't have a lottery, but Daddy always wanted to do the, what was it, the Publisher's Clearing House. And he'd always say, boy, I'd give half to the church if I could win that thing. And his view was, as he had it, an act to give. You want to be thankful today in the blessings of the Lord that He's given you to be able to give and that unto Him. Hey, listen, it's all He is anyway. He's just letting us be a good steward of it and work with His stuff. And I'm happy to give what God's given me. Amen. Listen, I know a deal when I see a deal, and He's given me everything, and all He's asking is for 10% of my money in return when it comes to my goods. Hey, I know a deal, amen, when I see one. But that ain't what I want to preach on. I just thought that was a good next trick. Number two today, number one was why we had Sunday school, but number two is why do we sing? Why do we come in? If you notice, the very first thing that we actually do in service is sing. We come in, the men and the ladies are supposed to go have prayer room, and then we come up and, and then we sing one song, and that before Sunday school. Now you know what that one song should be. It should be a song and that of praise to the Lord. But we sing it so that those that are running late can get here on time. Amen. Now I'm just being honest this morning. We all know that. And listen, if we didn't sing that song, a lot of you would be late. Sometimes me and my dear wife would be late too. I understand that. But singing, when it comes, you say, preacher, I can't sing that well. And don't feel like singing sometimes. You know that in the Bible we find seven different times that Scripture said, make a joyful noise. And so I believe that the Lord wants us to sing. If you go to the book of Zephaniah, he said that he joys over us in singing. Do you believe today that they're singing in heaven? I do. I believe they're singing in heaven. I don't know what kind of singing it is. I can tell you it's probably going to sound pretty good. No doubt they're probably out there singing, holy, holy, holy. We know out of the book of Isaiah 6, they're saying that. Listen, in Psalms chapter 95, he said, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Hey, you know what will make singing and that better in your life, better in the service, better in all of it, is if you come here and that with thanksgiving in your heart. How many of you come in here with thanksgiving in your heart today? Can I be honest today and tell you, this preacher didn't know him. I've got a lot on my mind. I've got a lot on my mind. And you know the one thing that I didn't do? I didn't come in here with thanksgiving. I didn't come in here with a thought that I'm going to come and praise the Lord. I'm going to come and thank Him for what He's done. I'm going to come and I'm going to praise Him. Listen, that's why we sing. Listen, that's why we praise is because of what He done. He said, let's come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise. Sometimes when we sing, it sure ain't that joyful, is it? Now, I'm going to tell you, it ain't that joyful when I sing. Now, I struggle sometimes to sing. I sat at this piano over here. I have to think too much and that to play. I have to dwell too much on that thing and that to sing. But I love to sing. Do you love to sing? Hey, are we awake this morning? Do something. Move your head back and forth one way or another. I'm like Brother Larry. Just do something so I know that you're out there. But do you love to sing? So, preacher, I don't sing in the choir. Yeah, but do you love to sing? I don't sing. Yeah, but do you love to sing? That's what I'm asking you this morning. Do you love to sing? There ought to be a melody. The Bible said over in the book of Colossians and in the book of Ephesians, make a melody in your heart unto the Lord. Listen, there ought to be something on the inside that wants to bust forth and sing praise unto Him. Now, let me ask you something this morning. We come in here, and I've already admitted that I didn't come in here with thanksgiving on my mind. But I'm talking about, first of all, we come and sing because we want to praise Him. Do you remember the story in the book of Acts chapter 16 when Paul and Silas were in prison? And the Bible said that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. They're in prison. They're in the innermost part of the dungeon. And they're down there singing praises unto God. How many of us? We're not in prison. We're not in the dungeon. As a matter of fact, we come to worship and to praise Him. How many of us come with a joyful heart? He said, make a joyful noise. Bible said in Psalms chapter 47, how to sing praises to God. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. I believe that the psalmist wanted us to get the idea that we were to sing praises. Sing praises. We sing that old song out of the Redback book, praise Him, praise Him. Tell of His excellent greatness. Well, I'm telling you, we ought to praise Him. Hey, listen, what do you think choir singing is all about? I've heard folk talk about, listen, there's always been one thing that I have desired to have here at the church. Not only to be a good preacher and a good pastor and have a good church, but that's to have a good choir. But I'm going to be honest with you today. Friend, I would rather know that there's joy in your heart. And we sung everything off key. Listen to me. And we sung everything off key, but sung with joy from our heart because of our Savior, than to have the best sounding choir that we could ever have and no joy at all. I'd rather not be able to carry a tune in a bucket. Boy, I couldn't carry one right now for nothing. But listen, not be able to carry a tune in a bucket and still have joy in my heart because I want to praise the Savior. But why do we come in here and sing? We come to sing because we want to praise Him. Want to praise Him. We come with thankfulness in our heart and want to praise Him. You say, well, you're wanting to stir things up and pump it up. Hey, I'm going to tell you, there's every now and again, you need to get up here and open that book and listen to what you're singing. Amen. We got up here and was singing Jesus Saved. We ought to shout it on that song. I mean, we ought to shout it on that song. You know what it said? It got to talking about over there, sing it softly through the gloom when the heart for mercy craves. Sing in triumph o'er the tomb. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Man, I'm telling you, that is. What does it say over here? That is our song of victory. Listen, it's because He does save. Listen, I look at this. It says, we have heard the joyful sound. Boy, ain't you glad somebody came to where you were and told you Jesus saved you? Well, where was you at when Jesus found you? It might be here this morning that He's found you. You might be lost and undone without Jesus Christ. Boy, I remember when I was a 14-year-old boy, He found me, snuck upon me one Sunday night, wasn't even looking for Him, and He found me. Ain't that something? Ain't that something that He'll find you? What was it say right here? It says, we have heard the joyful sound. Boy, I'm glad that I had a Sunday school teacher tell me Jesus saved. I'm glad that I had a preacher that tell me Jesus saved. Glad I had a mama that was concerned so much about my salvation that she had prayed for me to know that Jesus would save me. Well, I'm telling you, that does something on the inside of me. Then it says, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. I spread the gladness all around. Jesus saves. There's gladness in salvation. But yet, if we're not careful, we'll come in here and sing like we got the mully grubs. Now, I'm just being honest. Y'all know that. Am I not telling the truth, church? And I'm with you. I didn't come in here with thankfulness on my heart. I had thinking about these things. I mean, just so much, and that bombards us. Before we come to church on Sunday morning, I've learned one thing over all the years, almost 18 years of pastoring. I've learned that if there's going to be a tight meeting, it's going to be on Sunday morning. It is going to be on Sunday morning. It's going to be tight. You all are tired. Stayed up too late last night. Y'all know the story. You've been up too late. I've been fighting this morning trying to get to church on time. I've been in a rush. Things ain't went right. I mean, it just all fell apart this morning before you could get here. But ain't you glad that you got here? Amen. You could have not been here. I'm just telling you, when we come in and we get ready to say, I'm not telling you we're going to shout on every song. But I'm telling you, we shouldn't sing it with a frown on our face. I'm not telling you that you got to smile from ear to ear either. But you ought not to look like that the world's coming to an end either. Hey, if you're saved, you've got joy in your heart and got that peace that my wife sang about down on the inside. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We find that three nations was coming up against the nation of Judah. And boy, I tell you, King Jehoshaphat got over there and got to praying. And if you go to 2 Chronicles, let's just go over there and look. Some of my most favorite scripture I love to preach out of this, out of 2 Chronicles 20, and have to be very careful with it. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, boys, as they were coming against him, and he's proclaimed a fast, they're praying. and you pray for my throat now. And they get over there. And he gets down to the end of his prayer. And here's what he said at the very end. He said, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Boy, he just got honest with God. Have you ever had to say, Lord, don't know what to do? I don't know what to do in this situation. I don't know what to do with this problem. I don't know how to handle Satan. I don't know how to take care of it. I don't know. I just don't know. And Lord, I want you to handle it. I'm going to look to heaven and let you handle that. You know, I remember one time physically doing that. You ever done that? You just ever went outside and just looked up to heaven and prayed. I'm talking about standing out in heaven, looking up in the skies to the God that's up there, some more place, the second heaven, where His glory is cut off the third heaven. And look up in the sky and begin to pray and seek God. Might do you a little good every now and again to know that He's up there and that He hears. I forget that from time to time, that He's up there. But boy, when He shows up, I remember then. But look what happens. All right, listen, God comes by. And you know what He tells them over here? He says right here in verse 15, He sent a little preacher boy down there, and He said, hearken ye all Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the king, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Now watch this here. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Boy, ain't that good. I mean, the enemy's coming. I mean, man, there's three different enemies coming at one time and want to kill all of Judah and rob them and spoil them and take them for everything. Can I tell you, your adversaries the same way? A lot of times we get to talking about our flesh being our adversary, and it is our adversary, and I probably contend with Mark more than I contend with the devil, but you better get a hold of some things. There is a devil out there, and he is your adversary, friend. And he says, stand you still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. All right, Jehoshaphat, he does that. He prays and praises the Lord. And you know what he does? If you look in verse 21. Now look here. And when he had consulted with the people. Now talking about the king now. When he consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army. Now notice who's going first. God says you ain't going to have to fight. So what does he do? He sends the choir out before the army. Didn't send the army first. He sent the choir first. And here's what they said. And went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord for His mercy endure forever. Boy, ain't that a good thing to sing about. Praise the Lord for His mercy endure forever. Boy, you better be glad today that God's mercy is real. You better be glad if you're saved, you've experienced His mercy. And if you ain't never experienced His mercy and His grace, today is a good day for you to get saved. But then look what it said. And when they begin to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Didn't say when the army got out there. It didn't say when the king led in the forefront. It didn't say when the king said, charge. Listen, it said when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments. God began to move when they began to sing. You ever think God might move in our service if we would just come and sing with a little praise on our heart and our mind? Choir, I don't want to beat up on you. Church, I don't either, because I'm the same way. Okay, I'm preaching to me as much as I'm preaching to you, but I'm going to tell you, if we come in here with some praise on our lips and from our heart, I believe God just might move. He might move. It might get a little exciting around here every now and again. And boy, I'm telling you, you get to singing about His salvation, it'll make a difference. Psalms 95 said, oh come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. Boy, get to singing, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty sin. Boy, ain't that a good song? Boy, get sing page 305 out of the Red Baptist. How many of you know what 305 is? The old rugged cross. Boy, get singing about that on a hill far away. It's an old rugged cross. The emblem of suffering and shame. All for me. Boy, when you begin to... Let me ask you a question. When we sing these old songs out of this Red Baptist book, or out of that blue book, or out of the choir book, or whatever, do we listen to what we're singing? Or do we just say words and hope that the choir can go sit down? Boy, I'm telling you, when you begin to consider some of them songs, boy, when it talks about, boy, you get over here and talk about that thief. Let me find here, page 379. Boy, I find myself just like him. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And then it gets personal. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Well, when you sing that second verse, do you think about it? I mean, does it stir in your heart? And to think that you are no better than that man that was on the right hand of Calvary. And Jesus looked over to him after he said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And he turned and said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I'm no better than he was. But you know that old thief, he found a fountain open, didn't he? He found a fountain open. Boy, I'm glad. I like that last verse. Then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save when this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave. Well, it'd be something when we get over here and get to sing about what he done for us. But I believe we need to sing while we're here to praise him. We are to sing of his salvation, or to sing of the old rugged cross. Sing that he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. We sing that my name is in the book of life. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. Boy, it got wrote down to her because he come to where I was, amen. But then we sing about salvation. And let me say this, can you sing about salvation with joy in your heart because you've been saved? You may not be able to sing them songs today. You don't know what they're talking about. I know what they're talking about. But how about songs of joy and happiness? We sing songs of joy and happiness. You know, we sang of that black book there, the city of gold, heaven. Heaven, singing about heaven ought to be a song of joy and happiness. You know, Christ talked about heaven quite extensively. The Bible talks about heaven quite extensively. We ought to sing and that about heaven. We ought to sing songs of joy and happiness. Songs. There's just some songs. And I'm not being picky, but there's some. I ain't going back to page 409. I like got beat to death on that one. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about right there. But listen, there's just some songs that the words in them, man, they'll just bring joy to your heart just to sing them. Won't they? I mean, I'll be honest with you. There's just some songs that'll bring joy to your heart. Page 16. It's a little slow, but you know, that's only, I know he heard my prayer. That ought to bring joy to your heart. To know that Christ Jesus heard your prayer. To know that he listened, that he come to where you were and come to where I was and heard my prayer. And even when Satan comes to make us doubt, try to take it away. Hey, listen, he's faithful that promised. And that's why we can hold on to our profession of faith today. He's faithful. But we sing songs of joy and happiness. What is it? I'll have a new life. Praise the Lord. Every time we sing it, so I can't help but think what Brother Freddie Holcomb said one time after he got saved. Every time we sing it, I think about this. He said, right after I got saved and we singing that song, I'll have a new life. He said, I kept wondering why when we got to heaven, I was going to get a new wife. That's what he kept. He said, that's what I thought we sang. I'll have a new wife. Praise the Lord. I'll never forget that. Ain't you glad when you get to heaven? We'll have a new life. Amen. Boy, I'm proud of that this morning. Not because of me, but because of Him. We were saying because of what He's done for us. I want you to take your Bible and go to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 15. Children of Israel has crossed the Red Sea. The Egyptians were dumb enough to follow them in. And they were ahead of them. The Israelites was ahead of the Egyptians. And when that last Jew came crossing over, Moses stretched his rod back out and God shut the water up. And the Bible said in between all that God made the wheels and that fall off the chariots and they drag hard, the Bible said. And here they stand. In the meantime, now imagine this. Here they stand, them crazy Egyptians, with water piled up on each side, looking up, and their wheels have fell off their chariots. They had to know what was coming. They had to know this. But listen, we come to chapter 15. God has seen them through all that. And look in verse 1 of chapter 15. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. Moses wrote a song right here. And from verses 1 through, I think, verse 17, they begin to tell what God had done. And spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath He cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank under the bottom as a stone. Boy, they sung about it all, didn't they? Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of Thine excellency, Thou hast overthrown them that rose up against Thee. Thou sendest forth Thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. You go on and you read, and they just sing about what God done for them. They sing how He destroyed and that the enemy, how He parted the Red Sea and destroyed the enemy and covered them back up. Verse 13, Thou in Thy mercy hast led forth the people which Thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in Thy in the strength unto Thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Let me stop right here. They were singing some great truth right there. What do you mean they were singing some great truth? As they sung, they said, when the people shall hear, they shall be afraid. If you go look in the book of Joshua, and you look when them two spies come to Rahab the harlot, and she begins to tell them, she said, when we heard how God parted the Red Sea for y'all, and what He had done to the kings of Moab over there for you all, she said, our heart melted within ourselves. That was more than 40 years ago when Rahab was talking. You know, the day she was talking about was the day that they were singing this song when God came by and done something for them. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of Thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone till Thy people pass over. O Lord, till the people pass over which Thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of Thine inheritance in the place, O Lord, which Thou hast made for Thee to dwell in. And in the sanctuary, O Lord, which Thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. And the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea. And the Lord brought again the waters upon the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on the dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, which by the way was a sister of Moses too, by the way, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse with his and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." She said, "I want you to go out there and sing, because he triumphed." Has he not triumphed for you? Has he not won for you? Has he not been your God? Has he not been your Savior? Has he not come by and helped you in the midnight? Let me ask you today, maybe you've lost your song. Preacher, I just don't feel like singing. I've been there. I've had some days and weeks and months and years. He says it's been, yeah, months and years when I have not really felt like singing. But the Bible talks about a time when they had hung their harps upon the willow and said they required of us a song. Those that had carried us off into captivity required a song of us. And they didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to sing. They didn't know anything. Said, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For the hour they have carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us some mirth, saying, sing us some of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" Now, if you was honestly carried off captive, it might be hard. I mean, if you was carried captive and made to be a slave, it might be hard. But some of you ain't got a song today. Boy, you've let the devil, he's got you captive. Not that you're unsaved, but he's got you captive. And you ain't got a song. You ain't sung with joy in your heart. You may speak the words, and you may carry the melody, but there ain't been joy there in a long time. When's the last time you stood and sung with joy in your heart and praise on your lips because you thought about Him and what He done? They said we've just hung our harps upon the willow trees. We come in to sing, to praise Him. Some of you have been robbed of that. You know, the last part of Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, I believe it is, the Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Some of you are weak spiritually because there's no joy. No joy. Can I tell you, when we come to sing, I really don't believe that when we come to sing that we're going to be singing worldly songs. Worldly songs ain't going to help us. But them good old gospel, you know, the Bible talks about psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's what we ought to be singing today. That's what we ought to be singing. When we gather up in this choir, we sing congregational singing. I love to hear a group of people sing. I love special singing. Don't misunderstand me. I love it. Y'all know that. But when you put God's people together and put their voices to singing, I believe He gets glory out of that thing when we start singing about Him. Start singing about Him. I love it. I'm going to tell you, if I'm going to be a Brother Ricker on this one. If them songs we sing don't sound like they come out of the Redback book, we probably ought not to be singing them. Amen. There ought to be something different about what we're singing. Music ought to be different. Lyrics ought to be different than what the world has today. Friend, I'm not worried And I'm not wanting to work things up. I'm telling you, when you come to sing, you're to come and sing with joy in your heart. I'm telling me that when I come to sing, I ought to come and sing like I know what I'm singing about, with joy and happiness in my heart. I'm going to go back to this and then I'm going to close. Preacher, I don't sing that well. I'm going to say it again. Now, I believe the Lord wants us to sing on key. He tells us to do things skillfully. Stay with me now. Stay with me. To do things skillfully. He likes things done right. And He wants things done skillfully. So if you can sing good, that's good. Just know it's the Lord that gave you that ability to do that. But whether we can sing good or not, we ought to make a joyful noise to the Lord in our heart. This morning, let's bow our heads this morning. Listen, if you need to come and pray, I want you to come this morning. I want you to come. Maybe you've lost your joy this morning. Maybe you've lost your joy. Jacob, cue up at number one this morning if you can, son. Just flip that over and it'll tell you what number one is. Listen this morning. Maybe you have lost joy in your heart. Listen, while the music's playing this morning, do you need to come and pray? Maybe you don't have any joy in your heart this morning for the simple fact is you don't know what it means to be saved. You've never trusted Christ. You've never had Him come on the inside and change you from the sinner that you are to be a child of God this morning. I sing because there's something different inside of me than what there was when I was a 14-year-old boy. I sing because He loved me and because He saved me. If you need to come, I want you to come. I'm going to ask you if you'll stand to your feet. Keep your head bowed this morning. As we stand to our feet, just keep your head bowed. If you know how to pray, I want you to pray. If you need to come, I want you to come. But can you sing with joy in your heart? Praise Him, praise Him. Do you do that this morning? If you need to come, I want you to come. He can help you. It might be sin that you got to deal with, situations in your life that's robbed you. But do you need to come?